There was a bill signing ceremony this week, and it addresses the rising costs of prescription drugs, not only in our state, but in the country. But our reforms are actually here for Connecticut specifically, and we're going to get into it. This was actually a bipartisan bill signing, which is also something we should celebrate, the fact that that does happen in Connecticut. Joining us now is Dr. and Senator Jeff Gordon, back for us on this topic. And you were actually at this bill signing, Senator Gordon. Thank you for your time. Tell us, first of all, what this legislation really is.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show once again. This was a big, big effort and a really big bill. It comes from the bipartisan task force that I helped create and I was a co-chair of, looking at prescription drug pricing. We held a lot of public hearings, meetings, a lot of stakeholders involved. We worked with the governor's office. It was truly, indeed, a bipartisan effort. And we got this major bill passed that's really going to try to bend the curve on the growing high cost of prescription drugs, especially by trying to make things more open and transparent as far as what the pharmacy benefit managers, the middlemen in the process, do negotiating deals with drug companies. But they pocket billions of dollars in profits, but don't pass any of the savings on to the average person who has to buy these drugs that they need. And we're also going to make certain that we can get a better handle on what might be happening with drug shortages affecting the state, even ways of leveraging it to try to better get drugs in and also perhaps manufacture drugs through the manufacturing companies that we have in this state. So it's a big bill, but it really will do an awful lot. And Connecticut is going to be now one of the leaders in the country on this topic.
That's amazing. There's a lot there. So Senator Gordon, I have so many questions about the drug shortage and manufacturing drugs. I think that's a huge part of this bill, as you mentioned, and I want to get into that. But I first want to go to something that has been driving me crazy for many, many years. As you and my audience knows, my father is a health insurance broker, my husband as well. And one of the most irritating things that for them is that they will have clients, and this is not part of their job, but they will have clients who will say, you know, I've got this doctor who's covered, yada, yada, but I have this medication, whatever. And again, this is not under their job description. They don't have to do this, but they will tell people, ask your doctor if they prescribe you a medicine or they describe you a prescription, ask them if there is any kind of discount. And for a long time, people would be like, well, that's kind of crazy. That seems a little wild. But in fact, there are rebate programs, there are discounts constantly, and a lot of times it's just either going to a certain website or it's going to the drug company directly. And what always drives me crazy is, why do we have to take these 700 steps? And again, yes, I'm a fan of them. They're my father and my husband. But to me, why do good people have to then say to them, like, hey, by the way, you should ask for this because you're going to pay an insane amount of money that you may not have to most times. And so does this legislation address that?
It does, in a sense that it's trying to get to one of the major problems that's driving the cost so high of these drugs, these drug prices.
Great.
And when we have middlemen whose only role is to make money off of negotiating drug prices with the pharmaceutical companies, but then they pocket that benefit and nothing really gets passed on to the consumer, that is wrong. Even the Congress has been looking into this, recognizing that this is a growing problem. So, yes, this is going to try to get to one of the root causes of the high drug prices.
Okay.
So hopefully, if we can get the prices down, we won't have to have people go through all of those steps that you just mentioned.
So talk, I guess, about the specific what this law now does, if not enacted. What does this now do that Connecticut wasn't able to do before?
Well, what it does is it's now going to hold pharmacy benefit managers and even insurance companies that themselves own pharmacy networks, and there are some that certainly do, some of the big ones do, to a higher level of actually what I call fiduciary responsibility. There's different terminology to it, to really say that we have to shed a light on what they're doing. They have to have these things more transparent so the public and the state can now know what is really going on behind the scenes and make certain that certain benchmarks are going to be met with regards to why are these prices rising so high, who's making what money off of it, and why are various rebates and negotiated price decreases that the consumer doesn't see, trying to make certain now those start to benefit consumers by dropping the price down. So it sets up a whole new mechanism that the state did not have before to really open the door and be able to now move things in a different direction. And that's what's real meaningful about this bill. It's giving now that opportunity that never existed to try to really, what I say is, shine light on this whole non-transparent, opaque process that's going on everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we have Senator and Dr. Jeff Gordon here explaining this legislation. My understanding, Senator Gordon, it gives patients the right to receive credit for low-cost, out-of-pocket, and out-of-network prescription drug expenses towards their health plan deductibles as well?
Yes, it does. And that's something that we heard a lot from various stakeholders during all of the many public meetings we hosted on this through the task force, that this was a real issue. I took a look to see what some other states were doing or trying to do, and this also was a common problem, that common issue that needed to be looked at, especially since people more and more nowadays are having high deductibles depending upon what type of insurance plan they have. So, yes, this is another way to help people with a problem that we identified is an issue here in Connecticut, and hopefully this will make some difference for them as well.
Connecticut has become a leader when it comes to attacking the ongoing ridiculous rising costs of prescription medications, and that's why a bipartisan bill signing ceremony this week is so significant. It involves a lot of different things involving the transparency to address these rising costs, but it also looks at the drug shortages our country has faced recently, especially, but also the possibility of even manufacturing drugs right here in Connecticut. Joining us to talk more about this is Dr. and Senator Jeff Gordon with more. So, Senator Gordon, this really piqued my interest. First of all, the manufacturing drugs, I need to understand this one better.
Well, this is something that we learned quite a bit about during the task force meetings, that we do have abilities through various grants or even bonding through the Department of Economic and Community Development to help support manufacturing in this state and manufacturing pipelines. And we heard from a lot of folks in the industries relative to drug manufacturing that there could be a possibility that we could develop that pipeline here in Connecticut. And what this bill is going to do is, first and foremost, really formally set up a state process, a working group to delve into the nuts and bolts of that, to really understand what could be done here in the state. More and more of the technology that's out there, you don't need big, gigantic companies manufacturing drugs. There can be smaller entities that can be very flexible and nimble and approved by the FDA to manufacture drugs. So this is something that piqued our interest as far as what we can do in this state. So this bill is going to really look into that. And if it is something feasible, we will have to look more into how would we make that work if there were to be certain drug shortages, and unfortunately many different drugs become short in supply over time, what can we do in this state to ramp up manufacturing? So this is actually quite exciting and really was something we thought could be forward thinking about how we position Connecticut. And we found out that several other states are also looking into this. So for all the more reason, we should as well. So this bill is really going to open the door to see what we might be able to do in the future to be of help.
So just so I understand it correctly, Senator Gordon, we do have the capacity, the capability in Connecticut to manufacture, for example, I'm trying to think of, I think the one that really stands out to me is right now there's such a need for semaglutide, the weight loss drug. I mean, to me, that's something that people are spending insane amounts of money for if they don't have a medical reason for it. So if you are not a diabetic, if you don't have sleep apnea, if you don't have something that your doctor has said, hey, we need to prescribe this to you, people are shelling out $600-$700 a month for four injections. Is that something that Connecticut can begin manufacturing, or at least, you know, bringing down the cost substantially, or at least making it more competitive? Is that a good example or no?
That is one of the examples, yes, and we have highlighted that in the bill. Of course, we have to work with the federal government, the FDA, to get approvals, and we have to be aware of any patent laws that are out there. But yes, this is very much something that we are looking at, and for example, California is looking at it as well. But we're also looking at drugs that at times go in short supply. For example, when lidocaine, a basic drug,
yes,
an anesthetic drug, goes in short supply, mm-hmm, that can be very disruptive for patient care. Is there a way for the state of Connecticut to leverage its resources and manufacturing pipeline to then ramp up in-house, so to speak, here in Connecticut, manufacturing of lidocaine with the FDA approval? Those are also types of things that we're looking into as well. So we're going to be looking more into understanding this in a lot more detail, but it is a very exciting opportunity, and I'm hopeful that in the future we will be able to put something in place.
Yeah, I mean, it was only a year or two ago that we had an amoxicillin crisis, a shortage, because everybody, you know, if their kids were getting RSV or all kinds of different, you know, they were having issues, the doctors were prescribing this, in good, bad, or indifferent, whether you agree with it or you don't. We did go through a shortage of that. So my question following that up, Senator Gordon, is, you know, you say pending FDA approval. So do we have all the bells and whistles, but we can't actually, like, ring them? Because the FDA, as we sometimes can see, you know, from the federal government, like, level, might act too slowly. So, like, if we have a shortage, for example, like you brought up lidocaine, or if there's amoxicillin, whatever it may be, I can understand manufacturing drugs to be more competitive. That I can understand a little bit more. But when you have these shortages, sometimes it's like we need to turn things around pretty quickly. I mean, do you have confidence that the FDA will give approval in those situations where Connecticut really can use this legislation to its best ability?
I do, because I can see it from my role as a doctor, that the FDA more and more is well aware of all these shortages. They actually have been on the ball over the past 10 years, I would say, with this being more proactive, trying to find other ways to manufacture these drugs. Sometimes it's because one manufacturer's plant is down or something happens in the production pipeline, and that has a ripple effect. So we see the FDA more and more being responsive, and that's because of pressure from the Congress over the years to make them that way. So we're hopeful with the states doing most of the legwork with regards to setting up manufacturing and all of that that goes into it, it'll be an easier, streamlined process. And that's the way that's been moving more and more, and I'm hopeful that will continue to move, because that's a much better way for the FDA to operate, especially in collaboration with the states. So I see that it's moving more and more that way, and I have a feeling more states are going to follow what we're looking at in Connecticut to see what they can do in-house. So I am optimistic moving forward. The more states that do it, the more the FDA will have to be responsive and streamline the process. And I can see that in the way that I view it as a doctor dealing with these shortages.
Okay. Well, then I'm very hopeful. I'm very happy. And we'll see what happens, obviously, in the future. And again, there's so much good in this story. The fact is it started off as a bipartisan piece of legislation and something that was worked on from both parties. You love to hear that. You love to see that. It's not too often you do. But then also some of the things that you've highlighted just in this short segment, Senator Gordon, I think are can bring us hope. It's optimism. So, the healthcare industry is a real problem. And so we know prescription drugs, one of the three pillars of problems. You got insurance, hospital systems, and drugs. And so if we could tackle one of those effectively, I think we are a step better, at least in Connecticut, and a leader in the country. So I love to hear that. Senator Gordon, thank you so much.